spilling the tea on Hollywood's A-listers.
I think that Drake is just being a misogynistic, you know, jerk.
Exposing scandals.
Cheating on me again. Cheating on me again. Cheating on me again. Oh, let's get married.
Digging the dirt.
Honestly, I don't know how much more rich she could get. Feels a little bit greedy.
And finding out what's happening behind the scenes.
He said in a couple of sentences about why he would never have a baby with her.
His identity is a secret, but he's broken some of the biggest scandals in Hollywood. It's Anti-Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
Anti!
Hola!
There he is, that guy.
How are you? What's up? What's going on? What's new?
Not much. What about you? How's tricks?
My rollerblading tricks.
Do you rollerblade?
I do.
He does, like, ramp stuff.
Really?
You know what? Do you want to know why I'll never ever quit rollerblading? Because in when I was in high school, I started skating aggressively, the ramps and the rails and all that stuff. And there was a kid I skated with for a little bit, and then he moved away, and we kept in contact. And when one of the times we were talking, he was like, "Oh, you're going to school for radio? Hey, my dad's program director at KISS in LA, so he'll get you an internship someday." And since then, I've like, you know what? Rollerblading has opened a lot of doors for me. So, boom.
Did you work at KISS in LA?
No, but I worked for the guy that ran KISS in LA when I lived in Dallas.
Oh, nice.
Should I name drop him and maybe you know him?
He's dead.
Sure.
His name was Dan Kiley.
Okay. So, like, did the KISS in LA, like, Kid Craddock? Did you work for like in that station in Dallas?
In Dallas, I was working for Wild, which is now Jack FM.
Oh, it's a Jack.
I worked there right up until they flipped to Jack. We had a 1-8 share, so
it was
we
good
were
one.
A major player.
Did you ever meet Kid when you worked in Dallas?
No.
Oh,
I never met Kid.
He was really great.
I met Brian Bridgman, but not Kid.
Oh. All right.
Kid, look at him. Radio names. Small world, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk.
Let's do it. Lindsay Lohan is preggers. Who would have thought we would see the day where she lived a healthy enough lifestyle to be pregnant?
Yeah, it kind of came as a shock, but then kind of didn't. But I'm like super happy for her because.
Yeah.
I mean, I really am. I'm just happy for her. I have no other emotion for it, considering that at the early days, like if you go back to like 2006, 2007, and then, you know, that time period where she was in and out of court, and basically you thought, this is a person that is never going to get their life together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been a while, obviously, and we had the... She had a lot of ups and downs. She moves to the Middle East. There was all kinds of things that went on in the Middle East. And, you know, then there was the one time where she's, like, following behind the family with the babies, and she's got the fake accent, and she's like, whose children are those? Whose children are those?
Yeah,
did you steal those children?
Iconic Lindsay.
It is. And then now, hey, I'm married to a regular guy, by the way, and pregnant. And I think it's amazing. And she's doing, you know, Lifetime movies and Hallmark movies or whatever. And good for her. I think that she should have an entire career of doing Hallmark movies, and that she will be very, very popular doing it and very happy doing it.
There's definitely, I would say there is a fan base there that will appreciate the Hallmark movie machine, being that like all of those young women that grew up with Mean Girls now love the sappy stuff, regardless of how like corny it can be.
Yeah, and if you think about it, we don't know exactly, you know, how far along, but if you want to do the math, it's not impossible that she has the baby on October 3rd. You know, so if you are a Mean Girls aficionado.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be something? That would be awesome.
It is.
Do you think she'll name the baby Katie?
I don't know about that. She'll probably have some kind of traditional Arab name for the baby. But I think that I think that it is entirely possible that if she knows that the baby's due like around October 10th or something like that, I'm sure she would induce it to have it on October 3rd. I think that, sure. that she is well aware enough of to do something like that. So I think it's great. I look, Lindsay Lohan, 15 years ago, if you told me this, 10 years ago, nah, I wouldn't have believed it, but good for her. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of people, even those that like kind of hated on her back in the day, that really just kind of root for her now to like just pull it together and have a normal life.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that there was people that were necessarily hating on her. I will say that she associated herself with some really bad people. Just got herself into some really bad situations. She was definitely a gossip writer's dream for a long time.
Not to mention her parents are just the scum of the earth.
Her parents are indeed the scum of the earth. And to be able to break away from that is something truly special, especially considering, look, they sent her out to LA when she was like 15 or 16 years old to live with her drug dealer, basically. Yeah. And what kind of future did she possibly hope for? Her dad called her a hooker.
Right.
And her mom basically said that, her mom needed Lindsay to live. Everybody fought all the time. It was never good. It was entirely toxic. She could have ended up in a conservatorship.
Yeah.
For sure, because Lou Taylor was sniffing around that thing and wanted Lindsay in a conservatorship and reached out to Dina to try and do that.
For how long, NT, was Lindsay, like, basically, her parents were living off of her forever, right? And that's why they shipped her off.
They live off of her.
Really? She doesn't have control of her own money, or they guilt her? Like, how does that even work?
No, I think she has her own money. I'm saying, like, I think that they probably say, Lindsay, do you have a couple of bucks?
Mm. Yeah. And you know what? Enough to not almost hush money, but enough to keep them from bringing up antics in the news.
Yeah, they don't bring up antics in the news. And, Hallmark movies, look, there's a competition now, right? Mm-hmm. There's Hallmark and there's Great American Country, and Great American Country have changed their name to something else now.
Right.
But so there's this competition, and it is all actresses. You know, if you think about like Lacey Chabert, and you think about Candace Cameron and all of these people, it's the same kind of thing, right? This is Lindsay's wheelhouse, and Lindsay has chosen the Hallmark side. And when you do those kind of things, how much are you going to get paid? You're going to get paid probably $500,000 a movie, maybe a little bit more. But you can do two of them or three of them. So, she can make $1.5 million a year pretty easily and with not much work. And I mean, that's a fine, fine career right there. Plus, Hallmark's never going to fire you as long as you don't go out and try and kidnap some children or whatever. They're perfectly happy. So, it's the steadiest work she could have. She could do it for the next 20 years. Because her husband's a banker, but not somebody who's, he's not an investment banker rolling in tens and twenties of millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
So, I think that she still has to pay out to mom and dad.
I mean, you look at pictures of Lindsay and her husband, and she truly looks awesome. Like, she looks so healthy, and he looks happy and normal.
I mean, I would have never guessed it, but I'm very happy for her.
This is kind of an interesting story that maybe kind of went under the radar for the last few days, and that Tom Cruise was not at the Oscars. Probably no one thought anything of it until they realized that Nicole Kidman was at the Oscars. Is that the reason why Tom Cruise wasn't there to possibly win an award for Top Gun?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, a producer of a... He knew he wasn't going to win, so let's be obvious there. But at the same time, you're a producer of an Academy Award nominated movie for Best Picture, and it's nominated for some other awards, right?
Yeah.
That you will probably win. And so for him to not be there, and also James Cameron wasn't there either. So let's be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And James Cameron was nominated for Best Picture,
right?
So let's not throw it all on Tom. However, the reason he was not there was because of Nicole Kidman. Tom had been to the Oscar lunch. He'd been to the brunch. He'd been making the rounds and all this kind of stuff. And this was the first time that he had really been in L.A. in many, 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 many years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he basically lives overseas and now at this point, you know, in Europe, in London. All the movies that he does are, you know, shot there for the most part. But and so he was in L.A. and he did the rounds. But you have to realize, you know, the Dolby Theater is very small. It's extremely small. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the lobby's not very big. And you have a million cameras. So there was every possibility, probability that Tom Cruise would run into Nicole Kidman. Okay? And they don't get along. There's a long history of that. Mm-hmm. Yes, they share children together, but the children don't talk to Nicole. Nicole every once in a while goes, oh, yes, I talk to them. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. And think about if Tom Cruise walked past Nicole or they ended up side by side doing an interview on the carpet, the camera angles and such, where if you gave a smirk, if you gave a look or whatever, it's going to be picked up.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Every facial expression is going to be picked up by somebody. So why even leave yourself open to that possibility?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
And so that's why he's in the way. I mean, just think about this. At the end of the Vanity Fair party, when you had Austin Butler talking to Sharon Stone and getting her phone number.
No, NT. Who,
what?
Really?
Why is that a big deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you even know who Austin Butler is, Ed?
Yeah, isn't that what's-her-name's ex? It's Jennifer Aniston's ex.
No, it's the actor who played Elvis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so?
Asking for Sharon Stone's phone number?
So she's
okay.
Hot.
Okay.
So
right,
you got Austin Butler asking for Sharon Stone's phone number, right? It's the end of the night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And going to her
Gerard
car.
Gerard Butler. Having... Sorry.
Yeah, not Gerard Butler. Going to her ride, had to walk right in front of Austin Butler, Sharon Stone, was Vanessa Hudgens. And Vanessa Hudgens, obviously, was the ex of Austin Butler,
yep.
And had this kind of like, I have no way to get to my car other than to walk in front of this man that I really, really hate. Mm. And basically, I knew the cameras were on her. So she just had her head kind of down and just walked by as quickly as she could to get. But people took that like shot. And they tried to make memes out of it and stuff like that. So that is exactly the reason why Tom Cruise wanted no part of being anywhere near Nicole Kidman and having somebody capture some kind of moment right. that they could use.
I almost thought, NT, that Tom Cruise's ego was bigger than that, but I guess not.
No, and if Nicole had not been there, Tom Cruise would have been there.
Okay.
But it's the same, like Lady Gaga wasn't going to be there.
Right.
I mean, Lady Gaga's not in the official program.
What? So why did she,
go,
why did she end
program,
up going?
Yeah, I'm just
going
to grab my program real quick. I'll look at it.
Yeah. Grab your Academy Award program and you'll see under performances that she is not listed.
Yeah.
The reason that she decided to was because the who ended up did winning the Oscar for best song. Not to, I think. Is that if you had asked me, like, at the Golden Globes who was going to win, I'd say 100% not to or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But then over time, like I think we talked about, is that we said, oh, you know, maybe Rihanna's got a chance.
Yeah.
And then I think the buzz got to Lady Gaga where she's like, maybe you have a chance too, so you should be there and you, because you might win and you could go up there and accept the award. And I think that's why, is because of the fact that everybody started thinking, maybe this is not such a lock for best song after all, and you should be there and you should perform. And so she decided last minute to do it.
Interesting. I was shocked, to be honest with you, but I thought her performance was so good. And the fact that she was just in jeans and Converse, I thought that was a very interesting take.
It was considering what she wore on the, I keep wanting to say red carpet, on the champagne carpet.
Yeah.
Champagne carpet.
But we're all so, talking about her,
yeah, I mean, that was
her,
a very,
you know,
because, interesting outfit. Yeah. And that outfit, somebody just wore her outfit like a week earlier, which I thought was interesting, too. And I can't remember who wore it.
Keeping in line with the Oscars, there's a bit of, I guess, maybe outcry for the, I believe, was it Best Supporting Actress in that Jamie Lee Curtis won over Angela Bassett. Is there anything to this, or is this just a straight-up victory?
I think that one of the things that we noticed is that people didn't hide their emotions this year if they didn't win. Like Angela Bassett, you could tell when Jamie Lee Curtis won, was not happy.
She was not
Okay, Angela Bassett, I'm not sure she would have been my choice. However, I mean, look, to get nominated as a Marvel actress for a Marvel role is pretty spectacular in of itself.
Yeah.
I think that Angela Bassett is still really upset that she didn't win for What's Love Got to Do with It.
I mean,
right?
She was incredible in that movie. She should have won, I think.
Yeah. She should have won that year. And I think that that really kind of stings with her because she should have. And then the way the Academy Awards go is, okay, we screwed you over for that one. You should have won. So the next time you win, it's a makeup award, you automatically win. That's usually how it goes.
Okay.
Wait, is that kind of like an unspoken thing, or do you think someone told her that?
It's an unspoken thing, but it happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, oh, we screwed you over for that. Here you go. Mm-hmm. You know, you should have won for What's Love Got to Do with It. Everybody knows you should have won for that. Next time you get nominated, it's yours. You know? And she didn't get it. You could tell the look on her face. But Jamie Lee Curtis, look, I mean, she's a Nepo baby. People might not realize it, but she's a Nepo baby.
Mm-hmm.
She told us that in her speech.
She did.
I didn't watch the Oscars, so there you go. Mm. A better thing to do with my day. But the whole thing that Jamie did where she was like, oh my God, you know, or shut up. What did she say? Shut up or something like that.
Yeah.
When she won, it was all rehearsed. Like, okay, you know that you are going to have the camera on you. You know that you cannot say anything complicated or people will not be able to read it, right?
Yeah.
So you are an actress and you come up with like three or four words that everybody goes, oh my gosh, look, she's so surprised. But she wasn't surprised. I don't know. She campaigned like crazy to win that. And I don't think that Jamie Lee would have won if she hadn't won at the SAG Awards. They're going to have to do something.
Okay. Uh-huh.
About the SAG Awards and the day that it's held or something, because 2 days after the SAG Awards is when the final voting started, and it went for 5 days or whatever. Mm. They're going to have to do something about that, or else the SAG Awards are just going to be the predicator for all Academy Awards moving forward.
Sure.
See, what I was...
You have to get that out of their head.
What I was wondering, NT, like, from my perspective, it looked like Angela Bassett... Someone may have told her she was going to win, right?
But Oscars are the one thing left in all of the awards and the Emmys too that nobody knows anything in advance. Like there truly is, you know, the accounting.
So nothing ever gets said. You're saying ever in the history. There's no, like, Jamie Lee Curtis knew she would win.
Or had an inkling, at least.
Yeah, someone must have, like, I just find this interesting.
I think that everybody who was a winner at the SAG Awards knew the way that the system was going and what day everybody was voting, that you really had a good chance that to win because nobody's watching these movies, right?
Yeah.
So I probably, you know, I had a guy on my podcast and he writes for the trades. His name's Jeff Snyder. And I said, what do you think? Like, what percentage of voters do you think have even watched half the movies? You know?
Yeah.
And I would venture to say that maybe half of the voters have seen half of the movies. Mm-hmm. Because there's 10 nominees for Best Picture. And if you think about a two and a half hour running time, No, they're not doing it. And so what do? You have your assistant or you're filling out the ballot, fine, whatever. And you look at the movies and you go, oh, what won? Oh, SAG Awards. Oh, I get my ballot the next day. Everything Everywhere All at Once. So Jamie Lee Curtis. And you just check, 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 check. And so the only way that there's any kind of surprises are in like costume design or visual effects or sound.
Yeah. And the people that are genuinely surprised.
This is interesting. And I agree, Auntie, that has to be fixed. Otherwise, it's like, why have two award shows if they're basically the same?
Yeah. And it didn't used to be like that. But now if the SAGs are being that close, people are just going to go, oh, yeah, okay, well, that one. Oh, it must be the best picture. It must be the best picture.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like us at home. When we see a movie we've never seen before sweeping an award show, we just assume that it's the greatest film ever made and go on with our day.
And Everything Everywhere All at Once, as I said, is not the greatest film ever made. I've said repeatedly, it took me 5 times to get through the first third of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the final two-thirds are fine. It's a fine movie. The last two-thirds of it are a fine movie. The first third of it is truly awful drudgery, walking through cement. I don't recommend it for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a fine movie. But is it the best picture of the year? I don't know. I don't think so.
NT, do you get to vote in the Oscars? Do you get to vote for any award show stuff?
I do not.
Nothing?
I do not.
Okay.
But, like, the guy that I had on, Jeff Snyder, he used to work for Variety, and Variety, there was a couple people that voted, and sometimes they would like have meetings and like a staff of writers who had seen all the movies, and they would sit around a table and they would talk about it.
But
that's probably the way to do it. But that's not how it happens. It's some 75-year-old dude who's like, I don't have time to watch these. I don't want to sit through a 5-hour Avatar movie. And nobody's sitting through that. So let me just go by what I just saw, you know, in the thing and who's supposed to win. And those are the ones I'll vote for.
When I worked in country radio, I remember we were really close with a few people on the label side. And every year for the award shows, an email would go out and all the staff was required to vote for whatever was listed in the email. You know, everything's fixed, I feel.
Everything is fixed in award shows, except for, say, the Academy Awards and the Emmys. It used to be that the Grammys were not, but everybody's figured out that they're fixed, too, to some extent.
Auntie, what you are known for, your world-famous celebrity blinds, what do you have?
Totally forgot which one I was going to tell you guys, so I'll just tell you this one.
Okay.
that popped up in my head earlier today that I was going to write, so now I can't write it. There is speaking of Oscars, an Academy Award winning actress who has a side gig that actually is probably more known for than a side gig now at this point, but her husband's cheating on her.
Is the side gig for any kind of food related things?
I suppose that there's food. Yeah.
Like maybe a yogurt thing, like for your gut.
I don't actually know if there is food. I'm assuming that there is.
Okay, I want to ask just one qualifying question. Did this actress win an Academy Award in the last 10 years?
Oh, God. I think it's been longer than 10 years.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it's not Jamie Lee Curtis then.
Oh, God, no. Although I wouldn't surprise me if her husband was cheating on her. I don't know. But look, as much as I dislike Jamie Lee Curtis, is how much I like Christopher Guest. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
the dude makes some really, really good movies.
Yeah,
all right.
Of course.
Spinal Tap, Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman. I mean, come on.
I mean,
he's never done?
Princess what? Bride.
He's never cast her in a movie.
Oh, hey!
Oh my gosh, you're so right. Why is that?
Never cast her in a movie.
In that relationship, do you think he's the likable one?
Oh, yeah, I think he's the likable one. And here's the other thing. He's never cast her in a movie, and his movies have 20 or 30 people with good roles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Auntie Lawyer, thank you so much. We hope that you have the best weekend.
I hope you guys have a great weekend, too.
Thank you, NT. Thank you for everything. Sorry we had to cut it short. We have to do a contest.
All right. Enjoy your contest.
You're the best. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.